brought to you by North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC, as part of Finding America, a national initiative produced by AIR, with financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. We had music today from Gilla Cuddy from the Free Music Archive or GillaCuddy.com. That's it for Stage and Studio. You can like us on Facebook.com/Stage, the letter N Studio, or you can tweet me at Stage, the letter N Studio. Till next time, I'm Demi Roberts.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Sarah Kujewski. She's the curator of modern and contemporary art at the Portland Art Museum, and she's here to talk about Freedom, an exhibition by Josh Klein, which runs at the museum through November the 13th. Thanks for coming into KBOO, Sarah.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
This exhibition consists of several rooms. It's all by Josh Klein, who's helped by a lot of people because there's a lot of video work in there. Right. And there are four rooms. We'll just talk about the biggest one first. It's a dark room with a kind of almost like paving stone floor with lights in it. And right. You go in and they look like trees, but they have things hanging from them, mm-hmm. like those plastic handcuffs that cops use for crowds, mm-hmm. Plastic bags, credit cards. Mm-hmm. And then there are four cops who look like Teletubbies. They have little squiggles right. on their heads and TV tummies.
Yep.
And then in the main back part of the room, there's a speech, and it sort of looks like Obama, mm-hmm. and it's his words, but at the face, you know, looks like somebody else slightly. So that room is called Freedom, and the whole exhibit is also called Freedom.
Right.
So what kind of freedom are we looking at when we walk in there?
Right. So Freedom is the first in a much larger cycle of works that Josh Klein will be working on over the coming years. The whole cycle of works relates to or observes the politics and economies of the 21st century. He is kind of, you know, using these methods of Hollywood TV and movies to create alternative histories or a kind of science fiction view of where we might be going in the 21st century. So this first installation, Freedom, deals with politicians and protest movements, all that came out of his own experience with Occupy Wall Street in 2011. He was an activist in the encampment at Zuccotti Park. So that big room in the exhibition references that specific place of Zuccotti Park with very unique pavers and lighting elements in the floor.
That's what it is like. Mm-hmm. Zuccotti Park, it has those little lights.
Yeah, it has a pretty distinctive look to it. It's mm-hmm. this, as many of you might recall, it was a private space but open to the public that the protesters took over mm-hmm. and occupied.
And he camped there?
Yes.
How mm-hmm. long was he there?
I think he was there. He was sort of in and out of the encampment and participating with a lot of other young artists. There were a number of artists in art world, New York art world, people who participated in the movement. And so Josh's experience there with witnessing the police activity, the way that the police were not only physically interacting with the activists, but also utilizing surveillance techniques, taking video cameras and scanning the crowds. There's a really wonderful smaller sculpture in that room that are arms holding video cameras. Mm-hmm. And one of the images that seems to have been burned into his brain or were lines of police officers standing above the crowds, not armed with guns, but mm-hmm. armed with these cameras, just scanning the crowd. So taking that footage and, you know, hours and hours of footage, which all he could think of is it's going to be fed into a computer for facial recognition and into some kind of vast database. Mm-hmm.
They're kind of glass fiber arms, they're hollow. Mm-hmm. And then they're all holding these Sony camcorders, which kind of look a bit quaint now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the buttons and things are also showing up on the skin of the officer. Mm-hmm. And the fabric of their sleeves.
Yeah, Josh has been very interested for a number of years. Some of his previous work also touches on technology's impact on the human body. So I think what you see with those arms is a kind of blending, this sort of hybrid technology and biology. And I think that is reflected somewhat with the Teletubby police officers as well. They're these friendly, he referred to them as the friendly information police. They're this kind of, I don't even really know what you would say the Teletubbies were. They weren't really any kind of technological beings. They were these
They were sort of cuddly underground creatures that let you watch TV on their bodies.
Right. They lived in this world where their every move was dictated by voices coming up through tubes that would sprout in their environment. They spoke gibberish and watched television, watched real human beings in their in the screens in their belly. So
Josh Klein calls them courtesy, respect, professionalism, and popo.
Mm-hmm, right.
Police, popo, but it's a pun on one of the Teletubbies.
Right.
So they look kind of scary, but they have kind of piggish faces. Do you think that's a police are pigs kind of reference?
Oh, I think that actually they are pretty good replicas of the Teletubby faces themselves. Mm-hmm. I think for Josh, this notion of, how the Teletubbies followed orders and just executed whatever was told to them through these technological interfaces in their own worlds. And I find them very uncanny and on the one hand, they seem friendly and cuddly because of the expressions on their faces. They're very wide-eyed, very welcoming. But then these heads are on top of, 6-foot-tall bodies mm-hmm. in police tactical gear.
Right.
The
mm-hmm. things on their belts. Yep. And I don't know what all those little packages are.
Yeah. And inset into each Teletubby, into each of these figures' abdomens are are screens, just like you would have seen in the Teletubby television series. But playing on the screens are videos of retired and off-duty police officers reading the social media posts of various activists. So there's a switching of identity. Josh, in a number of the works in the exhibition, uses a facial substitution software to blend faces to cover, in this case, the police officer's face with the activist's face in something he calls an identity hack, of course, referencing how easily our identities are co-opted and stolen in the digital environment today. But for him, for the police officers to be reading these social media posts, social media, of course, has become such a critical tool in organizing for activists, but it's something now that authorities have become used to looking and scanning and mm-hmm. observing, surveilling these feeds to get a tip off on to different actions and things. So
they're reading out tweets. I don't know what year they're from. Are they vintage Zuccotti Park tweets, or are they like the last couple of years?
Yeah, it's a mix actually. So there are figures who participated in Occupy in 2011, but it comes right up to the last couple of years to Black Lives Matter, activists working with refugee populations, students organizing against rape on campus. So there's a whole range mm-hmm. of different activists represented in that particular video.
And there's also banal ones like US Airways is ignoring my tweets. Somebody's complaining about a flight.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's mention of Laura Poitras talking about IS beheadings, mm-hmm. so Islamic State mm-hmm. beheadings. And then something about a New York abortion access fund. So they're kind of all mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the point of using an officer to read out these kind of random tweets?
I think on some level it's about the constant stream of this information coming at us through these short bursts of information, short news reports. Josh has referred to the Teletubbies as these information police. So they're gathering all of this information up and they're, conceivably trying to parse through it and make some sense of it. You know, it's just this process of accumulating all of the data that is that first step in surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just as the officers were videotaping the crowd or scanning the crowd with the cameras. I don't know if we can even use the term videotaping anymore, but recording all of that visual information that then gets logged and sorted and forms some kind of database for authorities to mine to make potential connections.
Mm-hmm. So the police who are reading out the tweets, are they in on it? Do they know he's critical of the police?
Yes. Yeah. So he hired them as actors for the mm-hmm. the project.
So they're on his side.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think they're aware of the complexity of the arena, mm-hmm. This protest arena, and how police. I think for Josh, he thinks of it not so much as individuals, but as this kind of force that gains momentum and sort of follows a course. And, you know, it's really not about individual actors within it, but kind of the cumulative effect of certain policies and certain behaviors that that have an impact.
Mm-hmm. So the other trees, these metal trees, some have cell phone tower things mm-hmm. on them, those little long
yep.
things, whatever they do, send out a signal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there are plastic bags, and he references your new briefcase. So I guess
right.
the idea is you've been laid off, your briefcase is now a thin plastic bag.
Right. Yes. The second installment or chapter of this much larger cycle of works is called Unemployment, and he just completed that and exhibited it in New York in the spring.
Oh, that's a separate thing?
Yeah.
Right.
In that particular chapter, he's looking at how much technology is working to replace human beings, replace human labor, and he ponders what will become of us human beings mm-hmm. in that environment. So we get kind of tossed away. We become a piece of refuse as well. We're just tossed out. The plastic bags are a little hint towards that exhibition, that chapter.
Mm-hmm. The main screen where you can sit down on a bench for mm-hmm. 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
watch Obama's inauguration speech or his the night he won the election speech? Which one is it?
It's a riff off of the inaugural speech from 2008. Okay. It sounds very much like that speech, but it's a rewritten version. Josh actually hired a former speechwriter for Obama to create this speech, which then an actor is reading. But using this facial substitution software, Josh is able to kind of occasionally mask the actor's face with Obama's. So there's this kind of very uncanny and kind of eerie resemblance. Mm-hmm. The setting is, it's a recreation of that moment, you know, this site of power and of the government's control, a highly secure and surveilled place in and of itself.
So if you don't have the original to hand, how is the speech that we see on the screen different from the original?
It's different in that it is reflecting much more forceful arguments and commitment to kind of signature issues around gun control or healthcare, abortion rights, these positions on the left of the political spectrum that the people who got involved in the campaign and with the message of hope and change that the candidate was proposing, really wanted to hear back then in 2008. Some of the language now is characteristic of how Obama's speeches today are, but back at the time of him coming into office, a lot of those promises led to compromise because of the economic downturn, ongoing war, and the political arena that he entered into then as president.
My name is Joseph Gallivan, and you are listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Sarah Krajewski. She's the curator of modern and contemporary art at the Portland Art Museum. And Sarah's here talking about Freedom, which is an exhibit by Josh Klein, and it runs at the museum through November the 13th. The exhibit is in four spaces, really. When you're in the gallery, you can hear this hideous sobbing and keening and whining, and it's just horrible. And then eventually you go into this other room and it's crying games. Mm-hmm. So there are videos of actors in jumpsuits with little slippers that look like they're in prison.
Right.
And they're saying the same things over and over. I'm sorry. So many people. Mm-hmm. And they all look a bit like Cheney, Bush, Condoleezza Rice.
Right. Tony Blair,
who's the other
Rumsfeld.
One? Rumsfeld. Mm-hmm. But their faces keep glitching and changing, and
right.
You sort of think they could be the real person, but mm-hmm. they could be actors. What do you think he's getting at there?
He refers to 9/11 as the spark that began this trajectory that he's interested in 21st century politics, 21st century America. So the video really links back to that moment that began many of the things that we see having worldwide repercussions today, refugee crises, ISIS, ongoing war in Iraq and Afghanistan, terrorism at home. So all of these issues, one could potentially point back to this moment when all of those leaders that are portrayed in this video were leading us drumbeat into war in the Middle East. This is the first time the video has been shown in the United States, so I'm so interested to see how our visitors react to it.
Who's seen it so far?
Well, it's been open for a couple of weeks now, and I've had some really interesting opportunity to talk to different groups, one of which was a group of students from different countries in the Middle East who are here on a fellowship program at PSU for political science. One of the students in that group said to that piece in particular, it's not a sincere apology, but that the fact that someone's imagining that these people could apologize or would apologize seemed to have held some meaning for him, even though he knows that it's fictional and it won't come to pass. And then I had another group walk through, and someone used the phrase, they were like professional mourners in that video, that they're not these politicians. They're not those leaders. But the fact that we could see someone creating this mourning of the events that happened seemed to have an effect on him. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, I find it a tough video because you described the crying and the whining and the apologizing that's going on. It's hard for me personally to hear a human being going through those emotions and not have some empathy or sympathy or desire to help. But then you're reminded that who the actors are portraying and what the situation was. So I find myself going back and forth on this spectrum of, you know, of empathy or sympathy and sort of despising the actions.
You also know it's possible because Robert McNamara could go on TV and cry about the Vietnam War, mm-hmm. then, you know, maybe in 5-10 years, these people will do the same.
It could happen. One of the things I really appreciate about the video, too, is the ambiguity in the language of the script. They say these people. They don't reference who. So mm-hmm. is it soldiers? Is it refugees? Is it the people who died in the World Trade Center? I don't know who these people are. There's a very powerful line that the actress who portrays Condoleezza Rice says, some things you just can't fix. It just sets my mind going in lots of different directions. So I really appreciate that about the work, and I think that makes it a powerful piece.
Mm-hmm. It's powerful to be in a dark room with just one video source and a bench.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of unique now because everywhere you go, there's 10 screens.
Yeah. It's an interesting setting. You know, the walls are painted this kind of brownish gray. Mm-hmm. It sort of looks like the brown jumpsuits they're wearing. The bench is very nondescript. The concrete floor of the gallery. And then in the video, it's a nondescript space, but it makes you think about a cell that mm-hmm. they're sitting in.
Yeah, it's raw concrete walls and then mm-hmm. that kind of composite floor, the lots of sort of mm-hmm. ground down pebbles. Mm-hmm. Another piece is called Patriot Axe. It's in a little corridor, mm-hmm. I think. It's just a big video screen.
Right.
And it has this eagle on fire. It kind of looks like a Stephen Colbert graphic,
right, yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. flying around. And then all these buttons, which are referenced in another video, that look like campaign buttons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is... It's a lot harder to follow. What is...
Yeah, that work is... It's a very short video. It features an eagle in different guises. So in one, it's on fire. I think two of the Hunger Games. And in other, it's animated. So the eagle is flying over different landscapes that represent America, farmlands, mountains, mm-hmm. the ocean. And it grabs a key, and he's specifically referencing the NSA logo, which is an eagle with a key in its talons. All of the graphics, it's interesting you referenced Stephen Colbert. I think about the way that he parodied cable news effects with their graphics and logos, and campaigns have these... visual cues as well. So a lot of that is sprinkled throughout the video too. Almost think of it as like a sort of short commercial interlude or something in the course of the exhibition.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But of course, Patriot Acts refers to the legislation that was passed that allowed for greater surveillance of American citizens following 9/11.
Then the fourth section is... it's a room with donuts all over the walls, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're bagels, but they're probably donuts.
Yeah.
And they're in groups of nine, and they're all very different.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them have police logos on them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are made of things like razor blades, bullets, broken glass,
mm-hmm.
like windscreen glass.
Mm-hmm.
Different colors, different materials, and it's just a few of them have a handcuff going through the hole.
Mm-hmm.
So what the obvious thing is, like, okay, cops eat donuts. That's a bit of a cliche.
Right.
Is he serious about this cliche?
Well, he takes it a little bit further in that he is making a connection to donuts as a readily available treat. Many people eat donuts, and we often consume donuts, you know, with a lot of pleasure, but somewhat mindlessly. And, you know, all of the donuts have a material that references the urban theater where a lot of protest actions take place, where a lot of police brutality takes place. So by using a donut made of that kind of material or referencing that, he was specifically thinking about the way we consume the images and consume these experiences, not necessarily with pleasure, but in a kind of mindless way. We just take it in. It's very ephemeral. And so aside from the cops and donuts, it's more about an American predilection for just consuming and consuming in a less than conscientious or intentional way.
Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of been heightened lately with every new atrocity. There's really no time to reflect anymore, even change
right.
your Facebook flag color.
Right.
You're just like, oh, God, I'll
yeah,
do the next thing.
Exactly. One of the powerful things about the exhibition for me, too, I've worked with Josh for over a year or about a year on it, is he has very specific references to his own experience with Occupy, with very specific political events and political actors. But as the past years unfolded and different events have been happening, from the shootings of Black men to the shootings of police to domestic and terrorism at home and terrorism in Europe, all of those have affected my interpretation of the exhibition and make me think about, you know, there's freedom on the one hand and security on the other. And where do I personally feel where's that balance for me? How much am I willing to give up of my freedoms to feel secure, and how much security becomes too much and I lose essential freedoms?
Mm-hmm. So just tell us a little bit more about Klein. And so were you involved? Your name is on the credits.
Mm-hmm.
What was this commissioned? Where did this work?
Yeah, well, this exhibition is part of our Miller Miggs Contemporary Art Exhibition Series. And through the funding that's available through that at the museum, I was able to commission the final works for this chapter. So a lot of the work was made for specifically for the exhibition. But Josh is very conscientious in giving credit to all of his collaborators. He works with fabricators, with people who do animation. The donuts, for example, are 3D printed, so he's using technology and collaborating with different technicians. And he thinks of his work along the lines of film, and you know, all the credits that come after a film screening, he likes to position his work along in that same arena. Even though he's the artist and the author of all of these ideas, it took all of these people to help him realize this bigger vision.
Mm-hmm. So this is one of several kind of chapters that he's making,
right?
And there's already another one underway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So the unemployment was the subject of the second chapter.
Where is that?
That was on exhibition in New York in May this past year.
In like a commercial gallery or a museum?
Mm-hmm, in a commercial gallery, yeah.
So he kind of flits in and out of the nonprofit, you know, the museum world and the commercial world?
Right, yeah. So he's, you know, been showing very consistently over the last few years. I saw the beginnings of the Freedom installation at the New Museum in New York in 2015. He has work, he's shown quite extensively in Europe as well as venues on the East Coast of the U.S.
Does he sell it then when he's in a commercial gallery?
Yeah, so a lot of the work that's at the museum is a number of pieces are in one collection. There's a family that the Rubel family in Miami has become very big supporters of his work.
What are they called?
Rubel.
Rubel.
Mm-hmm. That's the name, and they have their own.
To Google them.
Yeah, they have a they are really interesting collectors who collect a lot of contemporary art in depth, and they have their own museum quality exhibition space in Miami where a lot of the work then goes on display. So Josh will have an exhibition there coming up in December of this year.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Sarah Kujewski. She's a curator of modern and contemporary art at the Portland Art Museum. And she was here talking about Freedom, an exhibition by Josh Klein, which runs now through November the 13th. Thanks very much for coming into KBOO, Sarah.
Thanks, my pleasure.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart.
You're listening to KBOO Portland Community Radio. Yeah!
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Abrupt Climate Change. A talk with Dr. Guy McPherson, Monday, August 8th at 6:30 p.m. at the Waypost in Portland. Dr. Guy McPherson is a professor of conservation biology and an author. He'll present his synthesis of the current peer-reviewed research on Earth's recent phase of rapid warming. Again, that's Abrupt Climate Change, a talk with Dr. Guy McPherson, Monday, August 8th at 6:30 p.m. at the Waypost, 3120 North Williams Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.